Hello. Here at Charity Digital, we drive the charity sector forward with digital tools and resources. We provide charities with free and discounted tech donated by the world's leading companies. We host skill building online and in-person interactive events, workshops, webinars and focus groups. Besides our podcast, we also produce free articles and videos to support the sector. To find out more and how we can help your charity, explore our website at charitydigital.org.uk. For today's podcast, we will be discussing an entire year on the Gregorian calendar. It's been a year of permacrisis, or better still, another year of permacrisis. It's quite striking, in fact, just how perma the permacrisis is. In 2023, the sector faced a hangover from the health crisis, several geopolitical crises with far-reaching consequences, economic crises, a struggling currency, spiralling inflation, increasing bills, and lest we forget, an environmental crisis, the most pressing issue of our time, somehow undermined by apparently more pressing issues at the present time. Charities have had to navigate all of the above and so much more, and as ever, charities have proved robust and resilient. 2023 has been an eventful year. It's the year cost of living led to flexible giving, the year Twitter and Meta could have done better, the year generative AI gave us TMI, the year NFTs ceased to be, the year podcast intros rhymed because the writer got bored. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, the Charity Digital content team, a team one critic in our office once described as too loud, a team that one member of the content team then described as not that loud really, are going to review all of the above and so much more. So without further ado, after that weird intro, what happened in 2023? We're going to turn to Laura to talk about whatever she wants that happened in 2023, but not her personal life or anything like that. Charity related, please.
So one of the things that I noticed was the fundraising landscape has again changed massively. Before we started recording, me and Josie were talking about how you feel like you get to know something in the charity sector and then all of a sudden the goalposts change, and that has happened again this year. And with fundraising, I think it's the cost of living crisis has had a huge impact. So we've seen that the amount of money raised has been higher, but the amount of individual donors has gone down. So it has impacted people's ability to give to charity. Major gifts have increased. And this most recently, we saw this in the Status of UK Fundraising report from Blackboard, that the charities that experienced growth, and there were more charities that experienced growth in 2023 than there were in 2022. It's marginal, but their signs are looking relatively good, that they were more likely to focus on major gifts and legacies than the charities that did not experience growth. And then this, at the start of this year, we saw from the Charities Aid Foundation giving report that was consistent. So it was less individual donations, but much more, the size of the donation was much more. But yeah, I just think this is showing that people, it's the number one concern for charities, according to the Status of UK Fundraising report, is the worsening economic climate and how it's going to affect the people's ability to donate. And with prices rising for charities as well, like the services that they deliver, and you know, just keeping the lights on in offices, it's getting hard out there, I think, to balance funds. Funding grants are harder to come by as well, especially for projects like digital projects, which are more likely to be able to help you save some costs. I think, yeah, it's just getting, I think it's a difficult climate out there.
Yeah, so in particular, it's been a difficult time for small charities. On the 21st of June of this year, an open letter was sent to Rishi Sunak by the Small Charity Week team, and it was signed by over 900 organisations calling for more financial support for small charities and the voluntary sector. It reads, unlike businesses, charities cannot increase prices to cover financial challenges. The tide of demand threatens to overwhelm small charities, which make up 96% of the of voluntary organisations in the UK. The NCVO also made a statement raising concerns that there isn't enough local government funding to cover the costs of charities delivering public services. And recently, the NCVO has also found that one in five charities say they could be forced to disappear this winter if they don't get the support they urgently need. 24% say they're planning to reduce the volume or variety of services they offer this winter to cope, leaving people and communities at risk.
Yeah. I mean, the severity of it, both your points immediately go to cost of living, because I think it's kind of, my point was going to be about priorities and like how when the cost of living crisis almost takes priority over the other crisis that we mentioned, the geopolitical crisis obviously impacts that and they're all intertwined, but priorities shift when the cost of living crisis comes in. And I guess the one thing we want to sort of highlight, or one thing I want to highlight, is that charities should try still thinking terms of long term and not sort of fall back to a short termism to manage during that period, neglecting things that over the long term could prove actual legal, financial, or reputational, could cause legal, financial, or reputational damage. Thinking about stuff like ESG and EDI, they usually get pushed back quite quickly. Climate action generally gets pushed back, but also cybersecurity, a massively important thing that charity should always be on top of, that gets kind of demoted as soon as we see sort of economic hardship, and even beyond then sometimes. So I think the cost of living crisis is obviously the clear issue that's confronted the sector this year, if you had to pick one. But it's interesting maybe to mention how that's come about. So obviously it comes from inflation. Inflation comes from the various different crises, essentially. So one thing we spoke about earlier in the office was that we actually, all the crises are seen, they play into each other. They're not independent. They're quite interdependent. So inflation comes from, for example, supply chain disruption due to the health crisis. Consumer demand following the pandemic rose, and that's led to some inflation. Trade friction caused by Brexit and soaring energy and fuel crisis, driven by the geopolitical crisis, particularly Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February of this year. Shortage of labor too. So you can see that they're all sort of related. And of course, when you talk of fuel, we can mention the environmental crisis as well. So it's just a kind of a panoply of various different things confronting the sector. And I guess the underlying thing that they're day-to-day trying to tackle is cost of living. And one of the things we're seeing is actually, Laura's mentioned the fundraising. So a lot of weird trends in fundraising. So for example, you've got the, like you mentioned, there's big donations coming in, but a very small donation. And at the beginning of the year and in the months following, we talked a lot about the cost of giving crisis. And I think that's interesting because we've seen inverse giving in some way. Yeah. Do you want to talk, can either of you talk a little bit about giving? Yeah. Well, inverse giving and giving, how giving maybe bucked a bit of a trend. I mean, I still refer to a cost of giving crisis, and I think I'm just inaccurate, because I mean, there has been a cost of giving crisis, but it's probably not been played out the way we always presume it will.
Mm. I think it's less of a cost of giving crisis and more of a, we've not diversified our income streams enough crisis, which is less catchy, admittedly. Yeah. So I think we've seen, as you said, we've seen major gifts go up. CAF reported that 2022 actually had a big, it raised more money than 2021. I know that was before cost of living crisis
2022.
Hit. But this, because it was at the start of the year, and that's what I was saying. The status of UK fundraising report has stayed relatively consistent with that. The growth was, it had gone in the right direction, but it was still major gifts were what were driving the fundraising, charities meeting their fundraising targets, basically. So we're seeing still high numbers of money coming in, and we're still seeing donors. I think at the start of the year, understandably, where the humanitarian crises was what was getting donated to the most, with what was happening in Ukraine. So we're still seeing quite a lot of giving due to current affairs. Yeah. And that's where inverse giving comes in. So that's when you give to charity because there's a negative headline about a topic.
There's inverse giving's two definitions, isn't there? There's one that So one is that it bucks the trend of economic hardship. So economic hardship, while you'd presume that would lead to less giving, actually can lead to more because people want to donate more of their money to causes.
Well, we saw that in COVID, didn't we?
Yeah, like, COVID was a good example.
Everyone thought that we would go down because people would, have big things on their minds.
Yeah.
But actually,
and they were poorer.
But it actually went up.
Yeah, and the other one is the headline, which...
Yeah, but if something is in the headlines and a charity is getting attacked for something... people tend to donate more because it's a charity that they support or that aligns with their values.
Yeah.
But people are still giving. It's just trying to find the ways to help them give, which is where flexible giving comes in, that Johan's already mentioned. So allowing people to pause their donations if they need to, asking really sensitively is really important as well. Making sure that it's creating that supporter journey, making sure that you ask with time in between asks, not just constantly sending things out, and according to that preferences as well, which is obviously important for GDPR and everything else as well, not to skirt over those concerns, but they're but yeah, it's just making sure that you're thinking about supporter behavior really well, and well, because people who can give are clearly giving if major gifts have gone up and stuff like that. So yeah, targeting high income donors is a really good way of diversifying that stream, but making sure that you allow people to give in the way they want to is essentially how I would sum that up.
Josie, thoughts on cost of living crisis generally or anything else?
Yeah, one thing I would add is about how it's impacting the workplace for charities. So 70% of charities are more concerned in 2023 than they were last year about employees suffering from burnout due to pressures of working in the charity sector. Yeah, so I think that's worth raising.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with changing goalposts all the time, it can often feel like you're going back, straight back to square one.
And panic generally in the workplace. Yeah. I think this is one thing that charities need to avoid, and it goes back to priorities, is like stick to your guns almost when you've got a strategy and things are going not that well, or you're suffering from the environmental, the economic environment largely, then people tend to panic and shift things and try and change and recorrect in some sense, something that's not going wrong. You're just having a bit of a rough time at the minute. So just sort of stick with it, I think, and stick with long-term plans.
And it's also don't put employee needs at the bottom of the priority list, because it's a bit like cybersecurity. It should really be ticking along in the background, because if your staff are becoming burnt out, you can't deliver services anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we don't forget that employees are also existing in a cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
So find advice that you can give them, try and help in any way. I think it's difficult. It's, we've got a lot of time demands on our time, but I just think it's not something that should be overlooked, because I think you can't cut corners on looking after your staff, basically. Because it will lead to burnout.
That's fair.
I think it comes down to the need to juggle lots of plates, and that's the case anyway, but I think it's obviously a lot harder at the moment in the cost of living crisis.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And public trust in charities has gone up, which is weird because of Captain Tom and the honestly omnipresence, is that right?
Yeah, it seems in the headlines a lot.
It does seem in the headlines a lot, but public trust in charities has actually gone up, which is a good thing. That's something we've seen this year. And Laura mentioned flexible giving, addressing shifting donor behavior. I think the one other thing to mention around cost of living is diversifying fundraising streams, which Laura's mentioned as well. But it's simple as looking at other ways you can fundraise as well as flexible giving. So flexible giving should be almost something you should look into as a given now. Flexible given. And the other thing is like legacy giving and all the other ways you can raise money, fundraising events, all these different sort of innovations in fundraising, even though it might not be what you're used to, but taking those experiments, I think, is the way to address a shortfall in funding and continue to meet service user demand. Because we have seen people turn away service users. And of course, that's no fault of anyone's. But at the same time, it's obviously not an ideal situation for a charity.
Yeah, the Status of UK Fundraising Report, one of the biggest concerns that charities had was the worsening economic climate. But it also showed quite a lot of optimism from the sector that we do expect to grow. And we do expect next year to be better. So the studies also reflect what Johan has said.
Cool. Thank you, Laura. cool. So I think that covers the cost of living crisis in general and some of the economic crises. So let's move on to tech and sort of address some of the developments that we've seen in 2023 in terms of tech. I will turn to Josie to start, I think.
Yeah. So something that's been really exciting to everyone in 2023 in both charity sector and beyond, I think, is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. The stable release of ChatGPT was on September 27th, which was actually only 43 days ago at the date of this recording.
Ridiculous.
Crazy.
Yeah. And that seems to have sent people into a bit of a frenzy, just trying to work out how it can help them. I think particularly in terms of potentially wanting to save time and money, that might be a reason why people are so interested in artificial intelligence. But internally, we've had a lot of discussions about how using it mindfully will or should play a role, and like how to balance ethics and risks and stuff like that with the benefits. Also another statistic to illustrate how interest of the sector is. 64% of large charities and 44% of small charities are currently using or plan to use AI in their day-to-day operations. Mm.
Yeah, I can't believe that it was 43 days ago.
Yeah.
I think to echo a lot of what Josie said, from my perspective, I think generative AI has a lot. I do think the sector, I think the entire economy is a bit too eager to use it in almost every way. We've been through this in other podcasts, so we won't belabor the point. But I do think there needs to be a bit. One of the reasons we have the mindfulness and the responsible use of AI is because as a content team, it is quite important that everything we put outward facing is accurate, reliable, and also high quality, or to the best of our ability. So I think that's, AI falls short in those, in at least certain generative AI usage, largely generation of text can fall short in those instances. Laura, what are your thoughts on generative AI or any other tech?
I think it's interesting, actually, because I was going to talk a lot about how NFTs have collapsed.
Yeah.
And I think my main sort of point there was going to be that we need to proceed with caution with all types of technology, because if there's anything that changes faster than the charity sector, it's technology. It's insane. So I think NFTs, this time last year, we were probably talking about it as a fundraising trend. And I think now we've seen, there's a lot of reports that the industry has completely collapsed. The NFTs are pretty much worth, some NFTs, I don't know about all, a lot of NFTs are worthless now. And it's not to say that that industry won't come back, but it just goes to show that there's things change quickly.
Yeah.
And it's the same with cryptocurrency and and as well, we're seeing that there's a lot of scams being going on. That it doesn't mean that everything that to do with cryptocurrency is a scam at all, but there have been a lot of artificially inflated coins or tokens. So and you can read a lot about that. There was an interesting case going on recently that I read about in the New York Times. It's hitting the headlines a lot about how these are precarious sort of fundraising streams that we've talked about it as a fundraising trend. And AI, it's not to say that these things can't be helpful, in the same way that it's not to say that AI cannot be helpful. In fact, it probably would be very helpful. We've talked about the lack of resourcing. There's AI can really help with those admin tasks.
Emails, internal drafts, ideation, all very good.
Ideation, brilliant as well. I completely agree with it. I think there are a lot of benefits to have, but I think it's also really important to proceed with caution. And I think I agree with your eagerness point. I think there's no harm in being hanging back a little bit.
Yeah, and also the bandwagonry, which is a word I just made up. But I do think, I'm not sure it might be a word, but you tell us, comment below. The bandwagon, the sense of almost that you're going to get left behind is such a common feature of contemporary life, where everyone's like, well, if you don't, and I say it all the time in my articles, because there's truth to it. And it's like, well, if you don't grip the ball by both horns, I believe is the phrase. Is that right?
That's a Malifaux.
A Malifaux, what's that?
Yeah, you got it wrong.
Okay.
I thought you said ball. That's why I was like, it's a Malifaux. Okay.
If you don't take advantage of the of tech, it's like you're going to get left behind and that you're going to suffer a competitive disadvantage or so on and so forth. And I think that's so true in some sense if the tech takes off, but it's also okay with stuff like generative AI. You're not going to get left in the dirt. It's basically streamlined small operational processes. And I think proceeding with caution and, like Josie said, having that mindful approach is just so much more important than just lurching into it. I love your point about NFTs, because it is interesting, because we talk about tech trends all the time, obviously. And in 2002, when you were writing your tech trends for 2023, a lot of the tech we mentioned here, as almost in NFT sense, it's completely almost collapsed. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency generally has definitely suffered reputational damage, but also collapsed to a degree, not so much that it's no longer existing, but certainly doesn't have that pull of a fundraising option anymore. And then you look at like VR. So, I mean, tech trends for 2023, I think, from written in 2022, tail end of 2022, we were telling Bitcoin's going to provide huge opportunity. Blockchain is going to be the next big thing. VR is going to take over everything, and we're all going to be walking around with headsets. The point, I wrote this, so it's pretty. But the only point I'm making is that, like Laura said, there has to be some skepticism when it comes to the newest, latest, best tech that you need to jump on now.
Human behavior doesn't change that quickly, I think. And charities deal with humans. Yeah. That is their bread and butter. So I think that it's important to just, you've got time. And it's not with what Johan said about like you're fearing getting left behind. That's not to say you can't experiment or internally or stay educated, stay on top of it all. Mm. That's what Charity Digital's here for.
Yeah.
But it's also just don't jump in feet first.
And AI is going to be a big, it's going to be a dominating fact. This isn't a tech trend that's sort of going to pass us by. Mm. The only point is to practice some caution and also find out how to make it work for you in the best possible way. Don't presume that the way everyone else is using it is the best way. I mean, I've seen the way people use AI and I just think they're not using it very well. I mean, even the prompts I see, I mean, people send me stuff and I read stuff on the internet, which I'm going, this is AI generated. Mm. And the funny thing is it's bad. So you haven't even put a good prompt in. You've published it without editing it. You haven't checked for inaccuracies. You haven't referenced sources. You haven't given people credit. You've had all these shortcomings, and beyond that it's just not very good. And with a different prompt and some different information fed into the AI, or even using a different AI platform, you could have done a much better job. So yes, practice caution, but also think about the best way to use it. Think about your needs and think about how the AI can meet those, because obviously there's an AI for that. We've mentioned that before. It's an aggregator, for AI powered aggregator of AI platforms, which shows all the different AI use cases you can access, and there are so many, so it can be a bit overwhelming as well. So just go in slowly, see what's best for you, and don't worry too much about getting left behind. It's better to be responsible than be irresponsible. Open yourself up to reputational, legal and financial damage. That was a bit hefty, but nonetheless,
it's true.
I think as well, rather than kind of dedicating a lot of time now into artificial intelligence before we really know what the uses and risks, and before kind of like it's been established in the sector, it's probably better to spend that time on things like cybersecurity, that we know what should be done, and we know that, especially in times of like economic crisis, the charities can make shortcuts around things like data protection and cybersecurity, and also during these times there's increased risks of increased risk of cyber attacks. So yeah, if you're going to be spending time on your digital as a charity, maybe the priority shouldn't be in artificial intelligence, it should be in cybersecurity.
Completely. Totally. That's a great point.
Yeah. And I think interestingly, when you talk about risk, I mean, I find it interesting that you can't actually read any books on AI, or all the books are just from someone who's
outdated
just
the minute they're written.
I mean, it's not just that. It's just no one seems to know. So Josie's point's interesting, because you can spend money mitigating known risk, or you can spend money and time opening yourself up to risk. So, you know, like, the option's yours. What about social media? Does anyone have any thoughts on social media?
Social media is an interesting one at the moment, I think, because I think it's in a real state of flux.
Flux.
Because we've seen Musk's takeover of Twitter, now X, I believe. Everyone's still calling it Twitter, aren't they?
It's Twitter. Copyright reasons is X.
So Twitter has reduced functionality every day with new stuff as well. It's changing a lot, and it changes overnight, seemingly. Yeah. It's very strange. There's no rollouts as it used to have. And users are leaving in droves, I believe. Yeah. However, this was a decline that we saw pre-Musk as well, so it's not entirely unprecedented, I don't think. But yeah, it's becoming a much less valuable channel. It's harder to get people to see things because of the split between for you and following. It's just a lot harder to talk to your audiences on there, but that doesn't mean it's completely worthless as well. But it does mean that we have to start to look at new social media platforms. There's Threads, for example, which is slowly getting there, but it's still a slow growth.
It had
a
boom, and then it had a decline, and then it stabilized, I think.
Yeah. So, it's, again, something to experiment with. I do think we're in a bit of an experimental phase of it. Facebook has gone down for some demographics, but it's stayed pretty consistent with other demographics. It's just a really interesting one, I think, because I don't think it's predictable for 2024. It is 2023.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think I joined Blue Sky recently. It's not invite only because I signed up ages ago and they invited me. So, that seems to be exactly what Twitter used to be almost. And the usability is quite nice and it's simple. And Threads is the same. It's odd to think you have Blue Sky, Threads and X now all kind of doing exactly the same thing. And one of the reasons I went to Blue Sky and Threads is because I do find Twitter quite toxic. I found my engagement personally had massively declined for whatever reason. It was post-Musk, but again, it wasn't on the best trajectory, Twitter, particularly financially as an organization. They did need to make changes to make themselves sustainable. And similarly, Facebook, we've seen the amount of jobs that have been lost there. They weren't a sustainable organization at the time and they had to make those changes. But the simple fact is now you have free text based platforms competing among many others, obviously, but three core ones, it seems. And none of them have offered great engagement because people are split between them. And,
well, exactly.
Yeah. So I guess I would say to charities, just keep, I mean, I always believe in like, if you're spreading between various social media platforms, maybe a continuity of X and a continuity of all of them would be the best way to go rather than plunging loads of resources into platforms that honestly might not be even worth anything next year. Not worth anything. They're always going to be, X is always going to be worth something.
Yeah.
But it could be minimal. I mean, we've personally seen that our engagement, my personal Twitter is, my personal X has gone down, but our Cherry Digital X, our engagement shot down. And it's shot down more than just the amount of people who are leaving. It's shot down more than that by some distance. So you do wonder, something's going on, and what's probably going on is people are paying for it and they're getting elevated to the extreme. We haven't paid for it. I personally am not going to pay for it, and thus we are demoted. That creates a problem in itself, which is that the people willing to pay for it, who might not always be the best faith actors, are now elevated and also not the most interesting people, because if you're interesting, I don't think you want to pay for Twitter. That's probably a bad point, but nonetheless. Anyway, I think, yeah, so caution around those. TikTok's obviously taking some strides. And yeah, I think that's generally it. Josie?
I think as well with social media, there's a big thing about obviously reaching your supporters. That's what charities use it for. And 62% of charities are concerned about the inability to engage with the next generation of supporters more so than last year. But I think a lot of charities possibly assume that social media is a good place to reach younger people, but that isn't necessarily the case. So Ofcom found that over half of social media users aged between 16 and 24 thought they spent too much time on social media, and they were more likely than average to manage the time they spent online. And 36% had taken deliberate breaks from using social media apps, and 32% said they deleted apps to avoid spending too much time on them. So it isn't necessarily the best place. Even though maybe they're still spending too much time on social media and you could reach them there, there might be other ways to reach them. And it also, given that people are trying to, of that age group, are trying to reduce their time on there, that also possibly means it might not be the best place for them in the future, even if it is now. So yeah, that's
totally. I mean, it's an odd one, because I think what we're saying is something we, and I've written about this as well, and we've all kind of mentioned it. It's something we've never said before. And it's something people haven't said. It's, social media is a place to go. It's definitely something you should be doing. You should be on all platforms, or you should be investing key. It's sort of shifting now where you sort of go, I don't know if you should be investing more in social media. In fact, I don't think 2023 has been the year that's changed. And Musk was a big driver of that, I think, but he's not the driver of it. I think we were seeing a sea change a little bit before him. I think, and Twitter obviously was seen as chaotic, but I think all of them have just been, we've seen get engagement almost seep a little bit in the early months of 2023 and late 2022. So yeah, it's a very interesting one over the sort of one to watch, I suppose, and just keep your eye on it. There are, of course, emerging social media platforms. There always will be. But when we've talked about it, they always seem to be more geared towards authenticity and more geared towards, less geared towards marketing. I mean, Be Real was the...
Yeah, it's a really hard one to brand. Yeah. Be Real, it's almost impossible.
And perhaps that's what people want.
Exactly.
Because I think, I mean, I don't know about you, but I quit Facebook at the end of ages ago, but it was an Instagram because it just became so marketing. Mm. I was going on it. I was like, I don't want to buy stuff all the time, you know? And so it just became a bit too much. And I think maybe that's why it's all seeped out and people want more authentic online experiences these days, I think. Well, thank you for that. I think we covered a lot of what's happening in 2023, and our next podcast is going to cover what we think is going to happen in 2024, a lot of fundraising trends and stuff like that. So catch us then. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Josie. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.